like the anointing, of course, whenever we hear power, most times it refers to the anointing, but also in this context, right? Can you hear me over there? All right. Or are you following me? That's the question. But also in this context, power also, in this context of what I'm teaching today, power also refers to like delegated authority, right? When somebody tells you do something or they put you in a particular position, right? Like how Joshua leads worship on Saturdays or on some Saturdays, or anointing leads worship, right? Or DJ is in charge of sound, for instance, right? That's what we mean by delegated authority, right? So authority was given to somebody. Authority was given to Ife to lead prayers here. Do you understand? You know, who now? Kingsley cannot just walk in here on Saturday and come and pick the mic and say, okay, everybody, be on your feet. It's time for prayers. You know, you might not even respond to him. I'd be like, is he rehearsing? Or maybe he's rehearsing for another fellowship prayer that I want to lead. Yeah. Why? Because he doesn't have delegated authority to lead prayers here. Right? But we know the people that have that authority. So when you are giving, and why I'm talking about this in workers' meeting is because as workers, each and every one of us have delegated authority. Do you understand? You are giving authority by the pastors of the church, maybe by Pastor Kenne or Pastor Yohandi, right? To come and do something, do you get? And not to do something to show yourself off, to do something to serve God. Do you understand? The only reason why I'm holding this mic this afternoon and talking to you guys in workers' meetings is because I have delegated authority. Do you understand? If I did not receive the information that I should take workers' meeting, I have no business being here. But do you know that there are some people that want to have business being there without delegated authority? Like, there are actually people like that, or you'll be shocked. There are people that believe that this pulpit or this altar is like an inheritance, like in their lineage, like it's like they drop the altar, they pass the altar down, they pass the pulpit, they pass this mic down from grandfather to father, and then it's now my turn. Like they believe that is my, there's a word for it. What's that word? I use that word today. No, entitlements. Yeah. Entitled people. Right, and they are very entitled, and even with spiritual things, right? For instance, if someone is made the head of the worship team for today, for instance, or maybe Jane is not around and he puts somebody else in charge, you know, and I'm there, there's a way entitlement can make me feel like I'm the one they should have chosen now, but I'm the one that is usually leading worship every Saturday. Okay, maybe even if I'm not the one that leads worship often. But I know that my own worship, whenever I lead worship, the atmosphere changes. Like, everywhere shifts. You can't compare my own worship with anointing's worship. Anointing is still trying. She's trying. God is helping her. I know. But for me, there's just the glory cloud just works with me. Do you get it? Or anytime I'm asked to take workers' meeting, for instance, it's just the way that the people's hearts, you know, God speaks to their hearts. It's different from how, you know, somebody else would take workers' meeting. So that is what I want to talk about today. How to handle power or delegated authority, right? And let's go to Jude, the book of Jude. That's just one chapter, and we'll go to verse 8 of it. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody in Jude? Or maybe I should just read. So Jude chapter 1. Are we all there? Verse 8. We're there, right? So remember, we're talking about how to handle power, when power is given to you, when you are put in a place of power or a place of position or authority. How do you handle it? And what should you avoid? So Jude 1 verse 8 says, let's just read. Let's start from verse 5. Sorry, I'll read Let's start from verse 3. I'll read in from New King James Version. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turned the grace of God, of our God, into lewdness and denied the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. Verse 6. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, have given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, as set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal life. Now verse 8, which is where I'm going to. So they mentioned the children of Israel that came out and were rebellious. They mentioned the angels who did not keep their proper domain. That's the angels that fell with Satan when Satan rebelled in heaven. That's number 2 example. And they mentioned Sodom and Gomorrah as well, who were also rebellious. Then I said, likewise, like these three people that we have mentioned, verse 8, there are people who are dreamers. The Bible calls them dreamers. And what they do, they defile the flesh, they reject authority, and they speak evil of dignitaries. Now, these three things are the three-point agenda of anybody who will abuse power once they have it. Some people behave like they don't like power or they don't want power. But you just test run them and put them in a position of power for one day or one week, everybody will see crazy. Everybody, do you get? And these are the kind of people that are spoken of in Jude chapter 1, verse 8, that they defile the flesh, they reject authority, and they speak evil of dignitaries, right? And some people are not even yet in the power position, but they already believe that the person in that position is not worthy of it. Do you get? Now, such kind of people are the people that God works hard and ensures to make sure that they will never have power. Do you understand? So, the first thing I'm going to say about handling power is number one, be careful of your love for power, right? Be careful of your love for power or position. Do you understand? Like I said, power here is not only referring to the anointing, right? Or your gifts, or power gifts. It's also referring to like delegated authority, right? So be careful of your love, how much you love it. Do you get? Now, there's nothing bad in wanting to serve, right? The Bible says that, the Bible encourages us to serve. Do you understand? But what's your desire for it? I think one of the ways we'll know who truly wants to serve and who just wants to be in power is, number one, who is going to be seen when you get there, right? So are we going to see you or are we going to see God? Do you understand? So if we are seeing you, then you have a lust, L-U-S-T, for power. Just like the way people lust after the opposite sex, who lust after money, right, and all those things. Your own version is that you have a lust for power and position. Do you understand? And as a worker, it's important that you understand all these things, because you know the Bible talks about how in a great house there are many vessels, right? Some are vessels unto honor, some are unto dishonor. There are vessels of I think it said gold. Is it gold? I don't even know this day. Gold is there, right? Gold, silver, clay, and wood. That scripture, when I used to read that scripture before, I used to think about it. So the people that are vessel of wood, is it that they have no use in this life? Like, imagine being in the house of God. They said it's in a great house. If you read that, I don't want to go to that scripture. They said it's in a great house, right? So that means they're not talking about hellfire, or great house means it's just a scriptural way of saying in God's house. So mean that in a great house, a vessel of wood can be found. But I used to read that scripture, I'm like, but wood is not like gold now. So in the old house of God, they will not say me, I'm vessel of wood. I used to say, no, I must be vessel of gold when I read that scripture. But later on, the Holy Spirit started to like teach me again about that scripture and how vessels of wood are actually really important as well. Do you get it? No, wood is very important. Wood does a lot of things. You know, without wood, we might not eat. Some people can't eat. Like firewood, they use firewood to cook. They use it to make paper, stationery, like a lot of things. You'd be surprised that the powers and the abilities of wood, as despicable as it is, and clay as well, as despicable as it is very important. Not everybody will be a vessel of gold or silver. Some will be vessels of wood, and they are not less important than the vessels of gold. I don't know if you understand my analogy. I'm just using a hair. So what I'm saying is that, let me make it practical. The person who leads worship or who leads prayer here every Saturday is not more anointed than the person who opens the door every Saturday. It's not more anointed. It's not more anointed than the person that they send to go and buy something for the minister during the message. Do you understand? I was listening to a particular man of God one time, and was talking about his personal assistant. Like, for over how many years, the person has been just filling, booking hotel rooms for him, answering his calls, replying his mails, replying his texts, scheduling appointments, all this kind of, you know, basic day-to-day office stuff for him. And everywhere he has administration, the assistant follows him, right? And, you know, does all of those administrative stuff for him. And he said one day he was supposed to preach in a meeting and he could not make it. So that assistant that is always answering call and text message told the person to go and represent him and preach. And it was not a small meeting. And it was funny, it turned out that the assistant got there and everything he would do, that's the preacher would do, the assistant did. It was as powerful as if he came. And the point I was trying to make was that in 2 or 3 years of just filling forms and answering text messages, this person carried every gift of the Spirit that I flew in. So the route to power many times might not be the man of God's spiritual son. Like, it might not be to become the man of God's spiritual son or to live in his house. But I want to catch Pastor Zach's power or Pastor Zach's mantle. I think I should move in to his house. Or Pastor Kenny, I think I should move. Now, there's nothing wrong in staying in his house. I know some people stay with him. Please, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you doing that for the purpose of maybe I want to get this thing that he has. You know, somebody from Sokoto or Bayelsa or far away in the east like Anambra or Abia can pick up the messages that we are hearing here in Saints Church and catch the spirit of Pastor Kenneth. Meanwhile, you are just here every Saturday. They are just enjoying. It's just vibes for you. The message is just sweet. Like, you will just preach and you're like, nice one. You don't try again today, sir. You tried. But somebody who understands the value more will catch the spirit of it, right? So it's not by loving power that you get power. Do you understand? Is by serving, and serving in the sense that you want Jesus to be seen, not yourself. So that's number one thing. Number two, and this one is something you should avoid, is that you should avoid feeling like you are the only one who is right. Okay, so most times people who love power tend to feel like they are right and everybody else is wrong. And nobody understands the dealings of God with them. Do you get? So maybe when they did not pick you to lead worship, for instance, and maybe you are somewhere that has like a lot of visions, open visions, trans, closed vision, under vision, everything. I know they didn't pick you. They picked somebody or they picked Aisha to lead worship, and you are like, you are always in the throne, you know. And you just feel like, These people, they don't really understand me in this church. You know, they don't understand the dealings of God in my life. Do you understand? Now, when you start thinking that way, you're already falling into the trap of abusing power or abusing authority. You're already entering into what Jude 1:8 talks about. But people that reject authority and speak evil of dignitaries. Do you understand? So that's something you should watch out for. Number three is when you notice that you start despising or correcting preachers. Right? Start despising. I remember one time, a very long time ago, I was still very, funny enough, God just used to help some of us. So I thank God for sense in my life. I've not even known God so much like that at that time, but there was one time, that was when I still used to be on Facebook. Now I don't have time for that thing again. There was one time I saw there were some really hyper grace people on Facebook then. And one of them posted the lyrics of one Domoen song one time. Some of you might know it. Be magnified, oh Lord. You know that song? You are highly exalted. And the girl posted the lyrics. I was like, be magnified. That, why would you say be magnified? That God is already magnified. That it's an error to say be magnified. Like you are trying to magnify God. That, why would you say that God is already great and supreme? And, I'm like, first of all, you and Domwen are not each mates. Okay, let's even leave Bible first. Before we come to doctrine, correct that. You and him are no mates. He's older than you. He's a grandfather for crying out loud. You've not even married. So I was just, somewhere inside me, I just knew that this thing is not correct now. Why are you correcting? Okay, you go and sing your own song. Let's see what you will say. So do you understand? So when you notice that you've started correcting preachers, or you've started spotting errors, that, the way Pastor Kenneth preaches with that, it's not like it's not anointed. It's anointed, but you know, it's just that sometimes it says this thing and, you know, it's not really like it's wrong, but immediately you start having that kind of posture, you have started rejecting authority and speaking evil of dignitaries. Now, not only just speaking it with your mouth, even thinking it in your heart. That's how deep the New Testament is. You think that the New Testament is just a free ride, that there are no, the New Testament is more difficult to fulfill than even the law, than the Old Testament. There are 613 laws in the Old Testament, but the New Testament has even more laws than that. The only reason you are fulfilling it and you are not falling short of grace is because Jesus died and gave you his life. Jesus raised the bar in the New Testament. He said, lost in the Old Testament is when you sleep with a woman. Fornication or adultery is when you sleep with a woman. He said, in this, my own dispensation, it's like high jump. He took the bar to another level. He said, if you even look to the point of lust, just go and repent. As you're on the road, if you're just looking, you're on the road, just noticing that your eyes is looking at it, just be repenting. And that's what Jesus says. Should you get? So, even thinking about it in your heart, you've despised authority already. Do you understand? And it's important that we understand all these things because we're all workers, or most majority of us are workers here. Do you get? So that you won't have the wrong heart posture when you are not chosen to do something or when you are not selected to do something. Do you understand? All right. You understand so far? Hope I'm not saying too many deep things, deep stuff. Let's check 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. So we're still on correcting preachers, right? Correcting men of God. Can we start from one, from verse one, please? Let me know if it's coming from somewhere. So, beloved, I write now, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. Verse 2, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. Now, do you see the adjective they used to describe prophets? Holy prophets. And of the commandment of us and the apostles of the Lord and Savior, verse 3. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. Another word for scoffers, or another way you can interpret scoffers, are critics. You understand? Critics or correctors. People who always find a fault in preaching or in a particular church or, you know, in a particular person or in your HOD. Is you they are talking about? No, just the investry. Is you they are talking about investry here? That in the last days, scoffers will come. So when your HOD says that we are doing this, we are going in this particular direction, you don't say anything out, but in your heart, you're like, these people self are not really engaging God like that. You know? Anybody who is put above you, do you understand, is deserving of honor. Deserving of honor. And you can be a hypocrite, that your face will always show that you are honoring people, but your heart is not showing that. Do you understand? Like I said, the New Testament that you are in, they will catch you there. In the Old Testament, your face could show it and your heart will show something else. But in the New, both your face and your heart, they will catch you. Let me tell you the way Lucifer fell, which is even a good thing to bring in at this point. Do you know the way they threw Satan out of heaven? Do you know what he did? Who knows what he did? Okay.
He disobeyed. Like, he was jealous of God. He wanted to be like God. So he doesn't.
Awesome. So did we get that? That was the firstborn of scoffers. You know, was the first person to dishonor his HOD in heaven. His HOD was on the throne. The throne with the four living beasts, the 24 elders, cherubims and seraphim, and all those glory things happening all around. And he was able to dishonor the HOD in that place. And how did he dishonor God? How did he dishonor God? Anointing wants to try.
Like speaking against God.
Says speaking, right? Who else wants to try? How did Lucifer dishonor God that they kicked him out of heaven? Do we agree with speaking? Eh? Desired it. How did he desire it now? He was envious. Started rebellion. How did that rebellion start? By what? Thinking about it, okay. Who else? Which one do we agree with? Speaking, thinking. Eh? But all these people that's how I used to answer your exam question. Why students? I don't know if I can locate that scripture now, but I think is it Isaiah 14 or so? I'm not sure. I don't even know if we should go there. But anyway, let me try and see if we can go there. I hope I can quickly get it. Where Lucifer fell. Thank you very much, sir. So Isaiah 14, 12. Now, in case you want to learn how to reject authority and, you know, speak evil of dignitaries, this is a template. How you are falling from heaven, O Lucifer, but the end of everyone that dishonors authority, or even HOD, is that they will fall. And how great the fall will be. So how you are falling from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. Verse 13. For you have said in your what? In your what? You have said in your what? Aha. So both of it. But I think it's more of a thought. It was more of a thought. Do you know heaven is so strange? Lucifer thought something in his heart and was able to enlist 1/3 of all the angels in heaven on his side just by thinking. It means that maybe in heaven might not even need to be talking. That your thought is just open to everybody. Imagine if everybody now knows what the next person is thinking. You know, this earth won't have earth by now. Won't have earth. Maybe president of USA, what was that his name again? I've forgotten his name. Biden, ever since Trump left, I don't know the name of the president again. Biden and North Korea president are like shaking peace treaty. They are shaking. Yeah, our countries are now going to be friends. And the USA president knows what's in the heart of the North Korean. And I was saying that we just did shake tomorrow, atomic bomb, I'm sending it. You know, there won't be peace. But in heaven, that's how it is. Your thoughts are naked to everybody. So Lucifer thought, and 1/3 heard it. I want to believe that all the angels heard it. But 1/3 chose to fall with him, to rebel with him. So he said in his heart. So it means that rejecting authority and speaking evil of dignitaries will not necessarily have to be with your mouth. In fact, most times it will be in your heart. Except you are a very bad person. You know, there are people like that. There are very bad people that will tell it to your face that you are not anointed. I'm supposed to be in your position. And people can get there. Yes, people can get there. But it starts by saying in his heart. And what did he say? I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Stars are like other angels. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. See somebody's agenda. Let's go to 14. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the most high. 15. Okay, this was now God's judgment to him. Let's not go into that. But look at his agenda.